Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. I've invited a policeman to come right here, and he's going to give the children's sermon today. So I want you to give him good attention so that we don't get arrested for doing something. Mr. Smart, do you want to sit right there? And
sure.
You girls turn around. Turn around and look at, pay attention.
I guess she already gave away. I was going to ask what is it I do for a living, but she kind of already
gave
it.
Cash
bag guy.
So hard time.
That would be part of cash bag. Well, the choice between life or death. Now, maybe not all laws are the same as life and death. Some could be. But we have choices to make, right? We can obey the law. We can not obey the law. And they each come with their own choices. And what happens after? Right? So, when you think about the laws, what are some of the laws that we have in the Bible? Do you remember other people? By obeying the laws. Alright, so I'm sure you're going to hear more about those in the readings up in Sunday school. Alright? Well, who wants to take the Bible? Ooh, there's lots there. Right here, because she has some good news.
The first reading is a reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 119 responsively. Happy are they whose way is blameless, who follow the teachings of the Lord. Happy are they who observe your decrees and seek you with all their hearts, who never do any wrong, but always walk in your ways. You lay down your commandments that we should fully keep them. Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep your statutes. I will thank you with a true heart when I have learned your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos," are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled with your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him. Or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at another with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows that you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your own head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. I'm going on vacation next week. I won't be here next Sunday. I should have looked ahead in Scripture, chosen this week to not have to preach. Tough text, huh? Tough text. What's your image of God? Usually we look through these Lutheran lens and we focus on a God of love. We sing songs about the God of love. We address our prayers to the God who loves us. We offer our hearts to the God of love. And our image of God does make a difference. It makes a difference about how we shape our faith and even how we think about one another. But for a lot of people, that image of God is not all about love, but is an angry God who makes and enforces rules. God, the giver of the law, God sitting in heaven wagging his finger or pointing in accusation. It's an image of God that we also know in our hymns. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you are good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, wait, that's about Santa Claus. But some of us have that kind of an image of God, a God who is like that, watching over us, waiting for us. A creepy God, I think, a stalking God, who's just watching for us, waiting for us to break a rule. At first glance, these readings from Deuteronomy and from the Gospel of Matthew may seem to strengthen this image of God, as they both offer a very heavy dose of the law, and even naming some of the penalties of disobeying the law. But we can't leave these passages at first glance. We need to take a closer look at what is God doing here? What is God up to? What is Jesus doing, raising the bar? First of all, the law is always given as a gift. The law, particularly the Ten Commandments that Jesus makes reference to, is really a how-to manual for how we are to live. The Ten Commandments are God's gift to us to help us get more out of life. Do you remember the story of God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses to give to the people? This is after God had called the people his people, after he had called them his chosen people and led them out of slavery. So we can know for sure that the law was not given as a means to become blessed by God. Keep these laws and you can get to be my people. They were already his people. The law was given as a gift to that community, to the people. It means that the law is not the means to the end. It's not a way to earn God's love. The law was given to Moses and to God's people because he loved them. Moses says to the people, L'chaim, to life, choose life. Choose, they're standing. When this passage that Moses is that is quoted today, that we read today in Deuteronomy, they're standing on the threshold. There's the promised land. There's Egypt. They've been 40 years learning what it means to live as God's people. And now they're standing on the threshold looking at the promised land, and Moses says, it's up to you. Choose life and live as God's chosen people. Or go into the promised land and live like the people who are there, worshiping other gods. Choose death. Choose to live like you lived in the slavery. It's up to you. Choose life. Choose life, which means living according to the law. So first of all, the law is given as a gift of life, to bring us, to keep us in that relationship with God. And secondly, the law is given to a community. In Deuteronomy, Moses, as Moses toasted to life, and in the reading from Matthew, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, it is always a plural you. The law is for you, and it's always a plural. Here's the law for you. In English, we only have one word that's the same in for you, in singular and in plural. So it's not really clear when we're reading scripture in English whether Moses or Jesus is talking to an individual or to a group of people. But in Hebrew, the language that the Old Testament is written in, and in Greek, the New Testament language, there are different words for you. And when I was studying Greek and Hebrew, I was in South Carolina. And when we were learning the language, you had to show as you were reading that you understood whether it was singular or plural. So when you said you had to say, you all. You all. So we do have different words in the southern part of the country. So we have you, and then we have y'all.
Y'all.
And if you mean everybody, it's all y'all. Well, Jesus, in the story that the scripture that we just read, and Moses in Deuteronomy, are both saying all y'all. All y'all are getting the law. He's not talking to individual people. Moses and Jesus are both talking to everyone. So the law is not just about me. It's not directed at me individually or only about you or about our individual actions or our individual needs. The law is about creating and sustaining community where all of God's children will find life, where all of God's children can have health and safety and blessing. The focus is on community. It's very simple. When you're just looking out for yourself, it's you against the world. When you're looking out for others, and they're looking out for you, it's the community that faces the world together with its challenges and setbacks, opportunities and bright future. We are a family of God, and the law is a gift for y'all. It's a gift, strengthens community, and thirdly, it focuses our attention toward the needs of the neighbor. To be very clear, the law isn't meant to draw any lines, to remove the neighbor or the needs of the neighbor from our concern, but the law draws our neighbor more closely. And I think that's why Jesus is raising the bar in today's reading. The law is not a moral boundary. It's not a checklist where we can tick off the boxes. Murder, adultery, lying. No, Jesus says that the law is about more than that. It's about relationships. It's about our responsibility to care for those around us. We can so easily discriminate or injure. We can neglect or speak poorly about another while we're still saying, I keep the commandments. I've never murdered anybody. I don't commit adultery. I have never been convicted of a crime. So Jesus raises the bar for us to help us to see the real intention of the law. Jesus intensifies the law to make us realize that it's not about something that we haven't done. Jesus is telling us to be more responsible for the well-being of our neighbor, more concerned and caring for the children of God, not just worried about ourselves. This is God's commandment. This is God's expectation of us. It's in relationship, in community, that we keep the law and that we thus choose life. Not only for our sake, but for the life and the sake of the world. We have a God who loves all of God's children, a God who wants us to make the right choices, to be happy and healthy in all of our relationships, a God who wants us to know that God's parental heart is filled with love for us. I heard this story recently that a pastor told on himself. He was about 7 or 8 years old when it happened. He was in an argument with his sister. Never happens in any families that I know. But so this boy was arguing with his sister, and the arguing turned to shoving, and the shoving turned to hitting, and pretty soon he had his little sister pinned to the ground and his fist raised, and just then the mother came into the room and said, "Stop it." And he jumped up and stood with the defiance that only a 7 or 8 year old can take, with his fist still raised, and he said, "She's my sister and I can do whatever I want to her." The mother swooped across the room, took her mama bear stance over her son and said, "She's my daughter and no, you can't." I think that's a good illustration for the law. That's the law, God's gift to protect and to care for all of God's children. Sometimes we might feel the negative impact of the law or hear it as a threat, but it's because God cares deeply for all of God's children, all of God's children, that the law is given to us. No, you can't hoard everything. No, you can't discriminate and exclude. No, you can't violate and exploit people or the earth. No, you can't, because she is my daughter, because he is my son, because all of these are my children. No, you can't. So what's your image of God? When Martin Luther was asked this question, he said, "When I think of God, I think of a man hanging on a tree." Good answer, Martin Luther. Because in the cross, we see God's love poured out for all the world. And we're reminded that God will go to any length and to all lengths just to show us how much God loves us, so that we, God's beloved children, we created in God's image with God's heart beating in our chest, that we may better love one another. That's what that cross is about. It's not just about keeping the law, Jesus said, as he raises the bar. It's about relationship. It's about love. It's about life. Choose life. L'chaim. To life. Amen.